When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Oh, yeah, it's a half hour of power, the best show post-show. Here. On the Best Show Network.
There's no network.
But what there is a network of friends, and there is AP Mike over there is the definition. When you think of the best show, you think of AP Mike.
Oh, yeah.
How are you? When we did the live shows in Brooklyn in October.
Yeah.
And you made a cameo from the audience, just like kind of like going selling Matt as if you were peddling Matt headshots to the crowd. Pat, you can attest to this.
Yes,
it was the cheering was it was like more than anything John and I got. People were chanting, Mike, Mike. Mike, nobody was chanting anything for us. They were chanting.
Both shows.
Yeah, yeah. Both shows. Mike,
and
Mike,
it only
Mike,
got louder
Mike,
in the second
Mike,
show.
Mike, Mike.
I guess I blocked out the chanting. I thought it was more pronounced at the Brooklyn show, so it didn't register this time.
Oh, they were chanting. You mean the first, the Bell House.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Oh, they were chanting so much. So, how are you?
I'm good.
And, of course, Dudio, the dude who built the studio. How are you, Jason?
On the Best Show Network.
On the Best Show Network.
It's like the EIB network.
It really is. And I'm going to start organizing. Do you remember when Rush Limbaugh with his EIB network, Excellence in Broadcasting? There was a point when his show started, and I think about this every once in a while. He claimed that there were Rush rooms that, like, in... Like,
right, yeah.
You can listen to the show if you're having lunch and you go to a Rush room,
right.
Like whatever, like restaurant or whatever, they play the show. No one was doing that.
Yeah.
Rush room.
I will say that when my mom owned a yarn store in Federal Way, Washington from like, what was it, 2009 to 2012, her sister, my aunt Annie, is like, she listens religiously to Rush, so she would play it in the store. So people in there shopping would be listening to Rush Limbaugh, kind of making it a Rush room.
But was Rush Limbaugh on air promoting?
I know he
the
never
show,
promoted it, but
saying,
no,
go
it never
to
got
the
that,
yarn store.
It never got that far.
Listen,
it could have easily. It could have flipped.
If you want to hear the show while shopping for yarn in Washington State, boy, have I got the the place for you. Isn't it funny that the idea of the phrase listening to Rush means two very different things depending on which Rush you're talking about?
Absolutely. I was just thinking the same thing.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, what were you doing? I was listening to Rush all day. I spent 3 hours today listening to Rush. You're like, it's like, either, it's like, what were you listening to? Farewell to Kings? That's a Rush album, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
that's a podcast I would listen to. Rush on Rush, like pairing up Rush fans with Rush fans, and they have
that
to, they have to find a way to talk about the same thing.
I gotta tell you, Pat, that's a great idea. Rush on Rush.
Rush on Rush.
It could be on the Best Show Network.
It could be. The Best Show Network with our new show. Hey, everyone, I want to tell you about a new show on the Best Show Network. It's called Rush on Rush, and it's a fun thing. We get Rush fans of the band Rush and fans of conservative broadcaster Rush Limbaugh, we pair them up and we let them talk and just find out. And we find out that they have a lot more in common than that.
Yes.
That you got a lot. Any announcer with that phony laugh. They got a lot more in common. And we find out they got a lot more in common. Like, what are you, a horse?
Like you're reading promo copy for like the shows that are on in the afternoon on the CW.
Yeah, and later today we've got on a special episode of Arrow. Arrow finds out that he's not the only one. And then tonight, the special episode of Flash. The Flash finds out that when it comes to running fast, he's not the owner.
It's that horse cadence. Yeah.
He finds out.
And Pat, a shot of a horse. And
how are you, Pat?
I'm great. I'm great now.
Oh, that's sweet of you to say. Let's get this phone. Hey, Half Hour Power, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you tonight, Tom?
Good. You're here with me and Mike and Dudio and Pat.
Oh, there's so many of you. I don't know what to do with myself.
I know, right? It's real. It's like an embarrassment of riches. So what's going on tonight?
Not too much. I'm riding on a high this week. I did something for the first time that I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Let's see, do you want us, what if we guessed, tried to guess what it was?
Oh, I'd love to see if you could.
All right, well, but we can ask you questions. It'll be What's My Line would have been that show. Mm-hmm. A show that a young John Cale appeared on, by the way.
I didn't know that.
When he first moved to New York, he was a part of a 24-hour classical concert that played. And he was on that, and they actually guessed who was. So let's see. And what was your name again? I'm sorry.
My name is Ray. I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Ray. All right, Ray. It's something you've wanted to do for a long time. Does it involve performing?
In a way, but not really.
Okay, not really. That's a no. That's a no. Mike?
Does it involve an animal?
No.
No. Studio's up next. The last time we played this, by the way,
was
the 4.5 hours where we tried to figure out your name.
The Slaw Dog Epic on the Best Show Network.
Nickname.
Yes.
Yes. It's Slaw Dog. Okay. Does it take, is it a physical activity?
No.
Oh. Oh. Pat?
Is it something you could do at home?
Yes.
Next question, Pat. The floor is still yours, right?
That's how it works. Is it something that could help keep you awake?
No. Not really.
So it's not. You were not doing coke for the first time.
That was a while
back.
Was
that really what you were going for?
You were not saying, boy, my goal is to do some coke. And now you call up because you said you were on a high.
That's true.
And it could be something you wanted to do for a long time that you never did. There could be a bad version of that also. So it's something.
And the first thing I would do is call you and tell you about it.
Yes, call a show in a manic state. Saying you did something you never did. Let's see. So it's something you do at home. That was what we, that's all that's been established.
You can do it home. You could do it outside of the home or wherever.
Mm. Is it, does it involve the consumption of art?
Ooh. I would say yes, but I'm more of a nerd than most people are.
Okay, so yes, it involves the consumption of art. And so it's the consumption of art, not the, not the making of art.
No, no, it's a little making, a little consumption. It's, I'll give you a clue. It's a group setting kind of thing.
Okay. Unfortunately, you said group setting and when, just when it went over to Mike now as the next question asker.
Does it involve Tupperware?
No. 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 No.
I get it.
So it's not Tupperware. So you're not selling Tupperware to your neighbors.
No, sir.
Okay, Dudio's up next.
So it's a group setting. How many people did it with you?
Not a yes or no.
Five other people.
All right, next is Pat. Pat's
all right,
up next.
I'm going to make this a yes or no. Did you... do you see yourself doing this again very soon? Coke. Or in the near future?
Coke.
Yes.
Yes.
It's five.
Perhaps on a weekly basis.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
You know what it is?
Pat, the next question's yours still. You got the
answer. Right, right. Let's see. Do you have a thought?
I have a thought. Can I bounce
of
the
video? Of
course
you can, yes.
Okay. I'm curious.
Is it a book club?
Oh, no.
No.
Is it a type of club?
Pat says, would this qualify as any club?
It could be. Not. I wouldn't call it a club, no, and I don't think the other people would either.
Would this activity, that you said it was not physical, that was established already, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes, it is not.
Yes, it is not physical. So, five people at home, and you do it again in a week.
Mm-hmm. You're right there. I feel like, you know, we're on the precipice here.
But it's not physical.
Uh-uh. It's the farthest thing from it.
So, was it, did this involve...
It's a weird one.
It didn't involve the consumption and making of art at the same time.
Yes.
But not physical.
In my opinion.
Okay. Because physicality, that you... Now, let me just ask as a sidebar here. You would say that, like, painting, for example, is that something you'd call physical?
I would call it physical, yes. There is a bit of physicality, use of the wrist in this activity, but, it's all, you're sitting down, most likely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sitting down, use of the wrist, sounds like someone just got a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, no.
For Christmas. No.
No.
I was going to say, somebody just got a Ouija board.
Mike, a Ouija board. How accurate is that?
We're getting warmer, but it is not a Ouija board.
Not a Ouija.
You conducted a seance.
No. No, not quite.
Okay, and Jason has another question.
Slightly colder.
Were you making pottery?
No.
Were you weaving?
No.
Did it involve the dark arts in any form? The summoning of demons?
In a fictional form?
I know what it is then.
Yeah.
I know what you did.
Yeah.
I already know what you
did. What did I do?
I get it now.
Yeah. You played Dungeons and Dragons.
I did.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I did.
Did you figure that
so
where
much.
You were?
Yeah, that's where I just got. Yep.
The wrist, when you said the wrist and you said not in some, that. How was it? Was it fun?
It was fantastic. I had a blast.
Your character. Tell us about your character, please.
Oh, I could tell you about her for ages. Her name is Nilanjana Nariyera. She is a half-elf bard. And she has a focus on animal training.
Chaotic good? Where are we at? Chaotic good?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
I might have to start playing Dungeons & Dragons again. I haven't played since I was, like, 14.
I was just going to say, by a show of hands, how many people have played Dungeons & Dragons
Mike,
in here?
You don't even have to... I've played.
Yeah, I'm playing, but I would play.
Oh, yeah. I would play.
Uh-huh. What if we were for
the Patreon? What if we recorded a Dungeons and Dragons game?
I think there's already like 12 podcasts that do that already.
There probably is. Yeah,
but I would play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I would.
I'd do it too.
Ray, did you go buy a 20-sided die immediately afterwards?
I did. I have a couple sets of dice. Like I said, I've been waiting to do this for a long time.
Okay, so this is something you've been... This is not something...
I didn't do this on a whim.
Okay, you were ready and it finally lined up to where you could do it.
Yes, it did. And it was glorious. I'm supposed to be the face of the team, what they call the person that does all the talking. And... twice on persuasion rolls, I critical failed and almost had to sell my body to get our horse back. But other than that, I think it went pretty well. It was a blast, and I can't wait to do it again next week.
And who's the dungeon master?
This gentleman, his name is Eric. This is my first time meeting, and it's actually my boss saw a posting at our local game shop and heard that I was looking to play a game, so we got us both signed up. He's the only one there that I know ahead of time. But
I think I just had a brilliant idea.
What's that, Mike?
Do they have adult versions of Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, you could just make it adult. You could add in skis if you wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know how it works?
No, I have no idea.
Basically, there's a dungeon master who designs the campaign and is kind of the host of the game, and it'll be the rest. Everybody else will be a player, and the dungeon master will be like, okay, you're in a field now. And then suddenly there's some stirring in the bushes, and then what do you do? And so then you... If you go into the bushes, then you could be fighting someone or what. So is that fair to say?
You have to roll a perception check to see if you even see what's rustling in the bushes or if they get the jump on you.
Yes, that's
it's all about how the dice roll.
Yes, and you roll these dice that are either there's 8-sided die or 20-sided, and those will tell those will kind of determine factors and. When you get in a fight, they determine whether you're hitting the person you're fighting or not, how high of a roll you get. It's actually, when I was a kid, I loved it, and I ran away from it and never went back. And
every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
God help me, I think I might want to go back. Maybe that's me.
Too much of a stigma, but...
Oh,
seems to be cool now.
Is it? I never thought I wasn't going back to it because it was cool. I don't care. that's not driving the bus on pretty much all my decisions are not being filtered through what's cool or not.
It could become your new ice pack, like you mentioned
earlier.
That could
be it, yes. Yeah, just play Dungeons and Dragons.
There was a comic book store in Bayonne a couple blocks from me. But it was also a gathering spot for kids to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And I would see them in there, and I was like, you know, I just did not have, like, a high opinion of those kids, you know.
That's every comic store.
I did not have a high opinion.
Like, come on, you know? Get out and run around, do something, you know? Quit rolling the dice.
What are you supposed to do, run around?
I mean, we played board games. We did play board games, but I don't know, something about it, you know, just seemed a little... I mean, the thing can go on forever, right? There's like no conclusion, like in Monopoly.
Well, it's all up to your dungeon master and how well he is at storytelling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is true.
Thank you.
Were you a good dungeon master, Tom?
I often was not the dungeon master. Uh-huh. I would like to be in the thick of it, Mike. Okay. I'd be a warrior.
Okay, all right.
do you remember your character's name, Tom?
No, I don't. Uh-huh. No, I don't.
Oh, man. He knows. He doesn't want to let it go.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no. I swear I don't remember.
I don't remember
at all.
You think if we brought a hypnotist in here, we could unleash some of your...
If you bring a hypnotist in here, you might find out my character's name in Dungeons & Dragons. The only problem, the rest of it comes out, and I can't get that back. Uh-huh. The toothpaste doesn't go back in the tube. once this stuff starts pouring out, mm-hmm. you can't get it back. Be like, well, good news is we found out his character's name was Blorf. Or whatever. Bad news is he cries all the time now.
There were like no cool names. I mean, it was kind of always
Mike, you could pick whatever name you wanted.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you don't think Ray's character's name was cool? What was your character's name again?
It's Nilanjana. I actually took it from a book called It Devours by the guy that does Welcome to Night Vale. That just came out, and I just fell in love with the name and decided to use it.
I think those guys think this show sucks, the Nightvale guys. I don't know them. Look, I've teased them. Admittedly. I've teased them because I didn't know what their thing was, and I did what everybody who doesn't know what a thing is does. You make fun of it before you, because everything's a threat to the best show. You have to realize it's this show.
Well, so sue me. I like it.
Look, I have no opinion either way. I think they're nice guys from what I've heard. I hope it's false information that they think this show sucks. But I don't know either which way on their thing. It seems like it's very popular and they do well, and God bless them. Right?
Their audiobooks are fantastic.
Why can't I do that, Ray? Why can't I do an audiobook? Right.
Well, I will say there's about 7 different Dungeons & Dragons podcasts that I follow. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I swear, if you got the right team together and you put one out, you'd get some followers, man. And there'd be something there. There's gold waiting to be mined.
I got an idea.
Yourself doing Dungeons & Dragons.
I got a couple ideas for some stuff. 2018, the dam's got to burst on this. There's going to be some real things coming through. I've been threatening a few things, and now it's time for them to become reality. So we'll see.
I can't wait.
All right, Ray. There's another call here. I'm going to say thank you, and I will talk to you soon.
You're welcome. Have a great night.
You too. Bye. Dungeons & Dragons. Pat, you never played?
I never played it, but it always looked kind of cool. When I was growing up, you heard about it less, but Magic the Gathering was kind of becoming popular. People were doing Magic the Gathering and
that might be
and
more
card play games.
That might be more what you saw at the comic book shop, Mike, would be Magic the Gathering was a... Do you know what that is?
No, I... Yeah.
It's more of a card-based thing where kids can go have their adventures and try to top each other with cards to see...
I remember trying to like get into Magic and I didn't understand how it worked, and I was like, so I bought a bunch of packs. I'm like, I showed up. I was like, so what do we do, guys? We trade these? Or like, yeah, I thought it was like a trading card game.
Flip them.
Yeah, and then they're like, no, you need mana and you need this, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I had no idea what I was doing, and I got about $30 into this, and then I was like, I'm out. Like, I fold. I'm not going to do this anymore.
And it was something called Yu-Gi-Oh! Or something, right? Wasn't there something else? Like
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, there's still Yu-Gi-Oh! I think.
And then Pokemon became a card game. Uh-huh. So.
Yeah. Now, Pat, do you still have those Magic cards?
Do you want me to bring them in if I find
them? Yes, I do.
Okay. Did you play Magic?
No, I was way past my time.
Yeah.
That'd be weird if I showed up. All right, guys, let's do it. Here's the adult who bought whatever cards he wanted. Yes. But what's to stop someone from just, like, buying the best card?
That's what I thought at the time. I mean, I wasn't, like, you know, I was probably about 11, 12 at that point. And I definitely thought, like, what, can't the rich kid just win?
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. But no one was really playing Dungeons and Dragons, and I kind of thought that sounded at least more interesting, or maybe like I had you had more of a chance of, I don't know, doing something.
But, yeah. But I don't know.
No one was into it.
Hey, Half Hour Power. You're here with me and Mike and Jason and Pat.
Hey, Tom. This is Devin in Elmira.
Devin in Elmira.
Yep, Elmira, New York.
What's going on in Elmira, New York tonight?
Oh, nothing. I just got off of work. But I had a question for you.
Let's hear it.
I saw that you got a special thanks in Yodorowsky's Dune soundtrack.
I did.
Yeah, and I was wondering what the story was there, because I love that documentary and that score.
It's nothing too complicated. Is that the guy who made the movie? I had been talking to him about liking the movie, and they were looking for someone to do the soundtrack, and I put him in touch with someone I knew over at Light in the Attic, and then it came out. Then they all I did was put two people in touch with each other. Which
do you have the vinyl, the special edition one?
I do. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Cool.
No, well, it's a really. I love the music in Jodorowsky's Dune. It was kind of one of the first things. A lot of people are doing that sound now for a lot of things, which is like that John Carpenter type thick synthesizer, very 80s sound. Yeah, it's just like so. But that movie was really one of the ones to tap into it in terms of a movie. And it really fit the documentary.
Do you think Yodorowsky's Dune would have been as great as it would have been?
No, because at the end of the movie, he's like, then the movie was 14 hours long. You're like, what? 14 hours long? You know, movies generally aren't 14 hours long. He's like, I could not make the movie. It was 14 hours long. It's like, yeah, I think I can feel this one right now, why the movie didn't come together. Because you were making a 14-hour movie.
It would have worked in the Netflix generation.
Yes, it would have. He was ahead of his time. And,
You're a Paul Thomas Anderson fan, right?
Well, yes, I am.
I just got to go to a screening of Phantom Thread, and that was phenomenal.
I think I might be going to one tomorrow.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, you're going to love it, I think.
I can't wait. I literally do not want to know one thing about it.
Well, that's good, because it's not what it seems like it is, you know.
The trailer presents itself as. The movie is never what the trailer seemingly says it is. But you
it's
like
a great
it?
Surprise. Oh, yeah, I loved it. I got to go to the one with all of the cast, including Daniel Day-Lewis there, so that was really something. So he never comes out of wherever he lives, you know?
Yeah, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
All right. All right, thanks a lot.
Have a great night. Mike?
Yeah?
Paul Thomas Anderson, where do you stand on his movies?
I like his movies, but I admit that some of the endings to his movies I was disappointed with. Magnolia and There Will Be Blood, in particular.
Sure. You don't like a good old-fashioned bowling alley beat down?
I was like, where did this come from?
To me, the movie is, it literally skips over all he does is want and want and want, and then he gets it. And you see none of the enjoying or any of that, and it jumps right to him as a crazy old man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it shows you none of the
yeah
the good times.
Okay, well, yeah,
and
I
he's
guess
just insane and poisoned by wealth.
Whole movie until that point, I guess, and maybe I should look at it again. It's been a while.
How about The Master?
The Master had some moments, you know. I actually liked the Inherent Vice. There were a couple moments in there I thought it was a little, like the FBI guys, I thought were a little too, you know, too phony, you know, like too broad comedy-wise.
Sure.
But that one ended well. I like the ending of that movie.
I think I like the movie better than the book on that.
Yeah.
I feel like the movie has more sadness in it than the book did.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
I feel like he tried to tap into something with the loss in the movie that maybe was not so pronounced in the book. Is that fair to say?
I guess so. I mean, I can't remember the book that well, but, you know, I mean, it's not considered one of his best, but, you know, I enjoyed it. It was entertaining.
Yeah. Pat?
Yeah.
Do you like these Paul Thomas Anderson movies?
I do. Was Inherent Vice the one that supposedly there was a scene that featured Thomas Pynchon?
Yes, that he's... And I think that people have said that that's not true.
That's
right?
Not true. Because, it's in all these years, somebody would have cracked that code and figured it out.
I've seen the scene where it's supposed to happen, and you can see somebody in this reflection. You know the scene I'm talking about at the party?
Yes.
And then there's somebody you see very briefly in a reflective glass.
It's like the Last Supper kind of table setup.
Well, no. It occurs when Owen Wilson and
when he finds him in the side room.
They're talking together, like on a couch or something. Yes. Okay. And then there's like you see people moving around behind windows behind them.
Okay.
And then there's just like a brief scene where you see somebody who kind of would fit the age, and, you know, he's got glasses and a mustache, and, you know, I could see that possibly being him.
Isn't it so funny that all you have to do is not show a thing and everybody wants to see what this just old dude is going to look like, and then you're just going to go, that's him.
Yeah.
Like, if he was, not hiding, you'd just be like, oh, there he is. He's in that thing.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, there he is. Big deal. He's like, what do you think his face is going to have on it that everybody's going to be like, oh, my God, that's what he looks like. It's like he doesn't have four eyes.
Well, yeah, I can't believe actually he's been able to control it actually as long as he has, particularly now where everybody has phones.
Yeah.
And, you know, from what I understand, you know, he was he's like a young child, you know, I guess it's getting old.
It's the same with Banksy.
He's getting older.
Like so
but,
many
you know, I'd seen stories where people said, oh, you know, their children went to the same school as his child and so on. So, yeah, I mean, everybody, I guess, is just willing to, like, protect his privacy, you know, but he's probably like the only person in America whose privacy is sort of respected, you know?
But I see. I think the thing is, if you make it clear that your privacy is important to you and you don't waver from that, I think people respect that. Unless, because it's the push me, pull me thing where somebody like when Lindsay Lohan would court it and then pull back from it and then court it and then pull back from it. So you can't have it both ways. You're either in and want to have your picture taken and have people know where you're going to be and what you're up to or not to where that thing. And I know we've talked about it before. It's like that thing where it comes out 20 years after the fact that Bob Dylan had a wife for 9 years
in the 90s
and no one knew about it because he's not promoting that stuff. He's out.
Yeah.
And he doesn't play any kind of game where he teases the media with it and then pulls back. Yeah, you know what I mean? I think you can. Some people have done it. You just have to be committed to not getting your stuff done. I mean, there's people, we know people who who are famous and are not a part of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to talk about people we know who don't. But even as far as having a Twitter account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zach Galifianakis is nowhere on social media. He does mm-hmm. not have a website. Mm-hmm. But he makes movies. He does his baskets. He does everything he wants to do. He just does not play that mm-hmm. game. And yeah. It's not like he does it mm-hmm. and then checks out. He just is not in. Mm-hmm. He just was never in.
Didn't he have a Twitter for a while?
He was not really ever into that.
It was
that
probably
stuff.
A fake one. There's yeah. lots of fake ones.
Bill Murray also.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think he has a cell phone, I heard.
That's my hero.
A lot of people, but that's the thing. You can put together a career. I was like, look, Paul Rudd was here. Mm-hmm. He's a big major movie uh-huh. star. Like, he's not on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's not doing that stuff. But then it's not like it's like, oh, you can't be in these movies because you're not doing it. It's like mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with it. Yeah. You can carve out whatever life or career you want.
I've never had a Facebook.
Yeah, see? Pat's never had a Facebook. You're not on Instagram, right?
No. I think no. I put one picture on there and then mm-hmm. it was too much.
Mm-hmm. Or was it a massive shirt?
No, I put a picture of my hairbrush with a lot of hair in it.
Right across. That was right across the back.
I didn't mean for that to sound like a shot
was
at all.
Massive shirt.
Dumb massive shirt.
That's what it sounds like.
Is that what it is?
What was it? A massive shirt.
Maybe he's got your dumb URL on it.
I put one.
Well, maybe I should get on there for some promotion.
You should.
That's yeah. what it sounded like. I put one picture up. What was it? A massive shirt.
So I really didn't mean
loaded.
It that way.
So I did loaded. Not mean for it to sound so loaded.
Wow. There's truth in jest, my friend. So, yeah. It is interesting, the idea of being anonymous in an age where there's almost no such thing as anonymity. But it's not impossible.
Well, you're off Facebook and Twitter. I mean...
Look, I only went back. I did go back on Twitter right. for 30 minutes yeah. this week in an attempt to become friends with NBA All-Star Damian Lillard, who said that Monk was his... he had spent Thanksgiving watching Monk all day. So I tweeted at him. Then he did DM me, said Monk is his favorite show of all time, then did not respond to my requests to go to the game on Monday.
Yeah.
When he was at the Garden, or to give him Monk memorabilia. I think I clearly capped out on this dude very quickly. He spotted some sweaty pressing from a guy. Just like, this guy's coming on a little too hot. Seems like he wants to be my best friend all of a sudden. Feeling some, some definite creep vibes.
I still think you're going to hear from him.
But I told you.
Yeah.
Dudio has had the password. Pat has had the password.
Yeah.
And Dudio was like, this guy from this basketball player, it's like...
I literally had no idea who it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's actually one of the best players in the NBA. He's legitimately top 10.
It's crazy.
He's awesome. So good. And I said, Jason's like, do you want the password? And I was at home and I'm just like, yeah, give me the password. It felt like such a such a defeat to be just like.
I felt dirty asking.
You're like, I felt dirty saying.
You're like, I could do an hour. I could just do an hour.
Just give me the password. I got to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
I got to talk to this guy.
Did you change it again?
No, please change it.
Yeah, I will change it. Yeah,
I have not gone back.
Yeah,
not gone back to the account since.
I'll let
then.
You know what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Mike.
Yeah.
You've always got your ear to the ground and your antennae up for unique
general weirdness.
For weird, yeah. For the stories or whatever. Anything on your radar?
Yeah, a couple items a couple weeks ago struck my eye. I'm surprised this story hasn't gotten more attention. Did you see the story about the Navy pilots in Washington who, instead of skywriting mm-hmm. with their planes, they drew a giant penis in the sky?
I saw that.
And of course, some people were, you know, most people thought it was funny, you know, mm-hmm. and. But then, of course, you have the people who claim to have been offended, mm-hmm. that they wouldn't know how to explain it to a child. Mm-hmm. And the thing was, you know, if it could have been a Stetson hat. You could have said, you know, it looks like a Stetson hat because mm-hmm. it wasn't.
That's a big Stetson hat.
It wasn't so anatomically correct that, mm-hmm. you know, it was so vivid.
Yeah.
You sort of needed a little bit of an imagination to figure out what it was. But I'll throw it to the panel. Now these guys are in hot water. And
they are what, Air Force?
Yeah. I think they're Navy pilots.
Navy pilots.
Yeah, they're Navy. And so they're in hot water, and I don't know what the outcome is. So I throw it to the panel. Should they be reprimanded, or should they be pat on the back as, you know, kind of a funny thing?
Sure.
Yeah.
So you're in your mind, they either could be punished or rewarded. There's not even like it could go as far as this being like a positive thing they did,
not just a
we're not going to punish you for this or we are going to punish you for this.
Yeah,
in their mind, there's a third.
Yeah, I kind of just see it.
Thank you.
Well, either you got the joke or you didn't. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And
where was this now?
Washington, the state of Washington.
Oh, I thought it was D.C.
No, not D.C.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where in Washington?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Well, I guess if you're going to draw one.
Look, personally, should they be doing this? Probably not. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It goes up in the thing. It evaporates.
Right.
It dissipates so quickly.
Yeah.
It's like you got to work overtime to be truly because honestly, how many kids truthfully these kids said, "Yeah, mommy, daddy, what is that?" Nobody said it. No kids said it.
Yeah.
So, like so then if your kid actually said, "What is that?" and you're like, "Oh, blah 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 blah," I don't know. Like, okay, yeah, then you can say, "My kids asked me what the thing, and I didn't know what to say." But if you're saying, like, "My kid could have seen that or could have," it's like, mm-hmm. you just tell your kid it's anything. It's a dumb drawing. It's a dumb drawing.
I would think a kid would say something like, "I hope these pilots are celebrated.
We honor you for your contributions to society." with this air porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would say it's the kind of thing, it's like, come on guys, just don't do it again.
Let it blow over.
What if they drew
drew another sky penis? Would you be lenient?
Well, no.
What if it's even funnier?
And actually, it's probably something they cooked up in the bar the night before, you know? It's like, hey, mm-hmm. you know? Like, yeah. I never saw a Top Gun, but there's a lot of kidding around, right? I think
that's pretty much like 70% of the plot of Top Gun is drawing sky penises.
I have not seen Top Gun either.
Oh, no.
You guys have never seen Top Gun?
Nope.
Wow. How about you?
I think I saw it on TV once.
Okay, that counts.
But, like, you know, between commercials, one of those, like, USA, like, wait a million commercials through it. So, I don't know if I saw it.
It always seemed like a movie that was, like, the definition of it's like, yeah, I know what this is going to be. You know what I mean? Like, you see the commercials, you see the parodies of it and stuff. And at a point, you're just like, okay. I know what I more or less can figure out what this movie is going to be like. Like, I doubt I'm going to watch Top Gun and be like, oh my God, I didn't think that was what Top Gun was.
And apparently there's a very homoerotic volleyball game.
And a shower scene, right?
Oh, and there's a shower scene too? Oh, okay.
Yeah, then I think there's some charged homoeroticism running through it that I don't know if it was intentional or if it was just I didn't see it. I don't know.
Yeah. What about this for a Best Show Network exclusive? We just think of a movie like that, and then you and Mike have to come up with what the movie is, like all the beats of the film, and then if you've seen them, then you say how right they are.
Yeah, I can do that.
That's fun. Mm-hmm. You know what I think, though, at this point?
What?
I would bet any idea there are three people doing that podcast at this point.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It's a sea of people just trying to find an angle.
It's a real nightmare.
I tell you, it's the best thing about the Best Show. What's the angle? As one guy shows up, he flaps his lips. And then fake caller calls up. Then some other calls happen. Then these other guys, he makes fun of the other guys who work on the show. Yeah, there's no gimmick.
It's a show about nothing.
Thank you, Pat. It's a show about nothing. It's a show. So tonight you said I was weird. You were very quick to say I was weird. And now you said the show is about nothing.
Now I'm going to leave.
I take it as a compliment. Yeah. But so, all right. We're well past the half hour.
Well past.
Mike.
Yeah.
At AP Mike on Twitter. apmike.bandcamp.com, of course, is where you can get the shirts.
Still going strong.
The headshots and the music.
Plenty of time to get your gifts.
Yes.
For the holidays.
Yes. Jason, any events coming up? Anything on the horizon? I know Bridge and Tunnel have done their performing for 2017. Right?
Yeah, we're wrapped up. We're working on some new ideas for 2018. I don't have any shows in December, which is kind of nice.
That is nice. Take
some time and work on some things. So,
and around the corner, there's going to be you have some stuff for 2018. Very exciting.
Yep.
In the pipeline.
Yeah.
So we will all keep our eyes peeled.
Yes.
For what's on the horizon.
Yeah.
Pat.
Yes.
When this airs, you will have done the record release party for the Mary Beth D'Amico record that you have put out.
Correct.
Which is called Great.
Great and Solemn Wild.
And Solemn Wild. Great and Solemn Wild. And is there a label name on this?
I didn't put one. I thought about just like naming it something and just saying like, and that's me. But I really didn't want to make this my thing.
Because
like,
it's a standalone.
Yeah. Like thing. I didn't want to make this about me. It's her release. And it's kind of, it also kind of makes it look the way it's pressed and the way the insert and everything looks. I think it kind of seems like a cool archival thing that you could just find in a record store.
It has like a private press feel to it.
Right.
In
so
the best possible way.
My hopes is people find it in the few shops that we put it out under consignment. If you're listening to this Friday, it is the release. If you're not near one of the shops that we're putting it out at, which is Waterloo Records, Reckless Records in Chicago, Jackpot in Portland, and then in the New York City area at Academy and P-Rex, you can also just get it digitally. You can stream it on Spotify, Great and Solemn Wild. And if you're not near one of those locations, you want to order one, it's marybethmusic.bandcamp.com.
And just to sum it up, it is this Mary Beth D'Amico was a friend of yours who was an established recording artist.
Correct.
And had done recording in Austin. Things were more produced and had more instrumentation.
Right.
And she was your neighbor, and you were always a fan of when she would make music, just her and her guitar.
Yeah, whenever I could see her perform, it was always just her and her guitar. And we kind of bonded over kind of lo-fi records like Nebraska, Lori McKenna, The Kitchen Tapes. And so I was like, let's just do that. And it's kind of a beautiful final album for, you know, to kind of end on, and I wish it weren't that way, but,
sure,
but
of
it,
course, yeah.
it, you know, it, it.
But you had made this out, you had done these recordings with her, and she passed away 2 years ago, and this is the results of you doing that recording.
Correct.
So everybody should check it out. It's a very beautiful record, and again, marybethdemico.bandcamp.com.
That one does exist, okay. although she parked it, and I don't know the password.
Then which one was this again?
It's Marybeth Music.
Marybeth Music.
But if you even just do an internet search on Marybeth D'Amico,
sure,
you should find it. But yeah, if you are a listener and you want and you have a blog and you want to review it, or you work at a record store or any of that, you want to help carry it, you can get a hold of me at pat@wfmu.org.
And you should. And I will say that over at stereolaffs.com, LAFFS.com, we have new Sharpling and Worcester shirts that I am mailing out every day. And we have the poster that we had sold at the Brooklyn 20th Anniversary Rock, Rotten Rule show in October. Both of these are designed by Jeff Owens. They're both beautiful, and you can check them out and order them over at stereolaffs.com. And, yeah, see what you like. And also Gorch shirts. We're not making them anymore. Whatever inventory we have left, I have slashed the prices on them. They are $10 a pop now. So we're going to blow through whatever remaining stock we've got. That's also at stereolaffs.com. And we will be back very soon. Thank you all for listening and supporting the show, patreon.com/thebestshow. We will be back. Thank you for listening. Bye.
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 Bye.